Consider the first psalm. It's a beautiful, it's a perfect beginning to the library of psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the path of sinners. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He's always aware of what God's word says. He thinks about it, finds himself applying it to his life and his thoughts.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special message called Unafraid, Not Unraveling. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of Psalms, chapter 112, as he begins his message, Unafraid, Not Unraveling.
Psalm 112. The text is verse 7. I will read all of Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Yahweh. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Unafraid and unraveled. And the text again, verse 7. And you might want to leave your Bibles open to Psalm 112. But the text again, verse 7, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Yahweh. This psalm appears to point to the life of an ideal believer. The main point is the believer is unafraid in response to hearing bad news. And so he says, not afraid of evil tidings. The surrounding verses of Psalm 112 tell us about the type of believer we're dealing with or that we are receiving from. We understand that this is a believer who trusts God instead of the news that he receives that is quite scary and not desirable. And so again, the verse, our text, trusting in Yahweh, his heart is steadfast. The speaker or the writer writes about a believer that is not conflicted. Now it might be a good time for me to read the definition of conflicted. Having or showing confused and mutually inconsistent feelings. You know, claiming the faith, claiming to be strong when yet struggling to find it. Well, that struggle part is okay. The part that is not okay is to give in and stop resisting those things that we know are against us spiritually. And when we are afraid of something, the risk is spiritually being unraveled. And of course, that is undesirable. When worry gets the upper hand, we become conflicted as believers. And so we struggle not to let it get the upper hand. But it is a struggle nonetheless. We must do more warring than worrying. It is doable. When we are faced with bad news, one way to reduce the impact of bad news, for some of you especially, is stop listening to what journalists say. Stay away from the news. But how do you respond when you hear some terrible, what the liberals are getting away with now? Now what are they doing? Do you begin to unravel? Or do you face it in faith? Say, I would trust in the Lord. My heart is steadfast in the Lord. I will not let these things get the upper hand on me. I will not let them take me apart. There is bad news that we have to accept in life. Some of you have gone bald. You have to accept that. The bad news, however, also comes our way, and there is something we can do about it. There is bad news that we can reject in this life as far as it beating us up. This verse sums up all the Psalms. I mean, look at the verse again, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Yahweh. Now, if you just take that out, if you say, well, he is going to be afraid of evil things. He's not going to be steadfast. He's not going to trust Yahweh. Well, then what good are the Psalms? What good is the faith? What is the alternative if that is not true? And so, yes, verse 7, there are other Psalms that do the same, but this verse that we're talking about this morning, it sums up the Psalms for us. I've always enjoyed, when I used to sit in the pew and listen to sermons, I've always enjoyed expository preaching. That is, opening the Word of God and telling me what is going on at the time and how it applies, what it means. Not been one for the catchy sayings and the emotional tugs on the heart, the intellectual nothing. So those just don't do it for me. Maybe they do it for you, and that's fine. But I want to know, what is the Bible saying? Give that to me, and the Holy Spirit will then tailor that to my personality in Christ. Because each of us are different. We have a different perspective, although not necessarily in conflict, but a different way to approach whatever it is we are assigned to take care of as Christians. And we should have duty. If you consider yourself a born-again believer, then you have to say, what is my duty? What is my role? Where am I at right now? And there are all sorts of levels that go that belong to that. But tell me what happened, Pastor, in this verse. What does it mean? How does it apply? And there is where God's counsel is. That is how I have found it. Without such features, what good is the Scripture? It doesn't find life in me, coming through me. Consider the first psalm. It's a beautiful, it's a perfect beginning to the library of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the path of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He's always aware of what God's word says. He thinks about it, finds himself applying it to his life and his thoughts. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You read that psalm and you say, I want to be that believer. I want to be the one that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, the critics. I want to be a righteous believer. Life, this life, is more of a process than an event. And it is best lived, of course, for the believer in the delight of the Lord. Being very mindful of what pleases God. We'll get to some of the things that interfere with that, but we all hopefully set our compass, our course, to please God. And the text that we have before us is about this believer's character who lived just that way. This is a companion psalm to Psalm 111, so I'm going to make some references to Psalm 111 in a moment. And they are best taken together. And this comes out very strongly in the Hebrew, because it uses the acrostic, it uses the alphabet. Each sentence begins with in our English it would be A, B, C, goes down the line. And both Psalms do this and have equal amount of verses. And so we know that they are written by the same author, and that they do belong together. The characteristics of the believer in these two psalms point to an ideal faith. Okay, maybe I can't be there all the time, but when it's ideal, it's the place I'm trying to get to all the time. The place that is worth going for is where it is what we aim for. And this 112th psalm reveals the man. The writer of this psalm seems to have had a particular person in mind. Whether the person was actual or ideal really is not that important. We really can't settle it. But it does seem he's speaking about someone that he knows or would like to know. You could even say, as he writes about this person, that well, he's like Job, the righteous man. When Job talks about the things that he did before he was stricken, he says, you know, this lines up with him. So it's not a far-fetched notion to say the writer has someone in mind. I wouldn't mind if someone wrote a psalm like this and had me in mind. You wouldn't mind if someone wrote a psalm about you and had you in mind with these words. The walk of this character shaped the words of the text. Look at verse 8. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees the desire upon his enemies. He will see it through. When his smoke settles, he's standing. The enemies are not. That's because his heart is established. How much insight of his character is packed in to just that verse? His heart is established. Can someone say that about me? Can I say that about someone that's a believer? Their heart is established. I think the answer is yes. I can say that about other believers. Now, lost souls, those who do not have a relationship with Christ, they miss it. They can't see the Bible's message and meaning and application until they start surrendering. Then it begins to yield its fruit to them. But this character is a God-fearing character. Look now at verse 1 of Psalm 112. Praised Yahweh, blessed is the man who fears Yahweh, who delights greatly in his commandments. Conscious of God all the time. It's an outburst, and it goes again with Psalm 11. So if you're reading Psalm 11, that starts off with this churchgoer, this righteous churchgoer. He says, praise Yahweh, Psalm 111, verse 1. I will praise Yahweh with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's a righteous believer. That's the same person being spoken of in Psalm 112, as is in Psalm 111. Mindful of God, delighted about God. He knows the word of God is true, it is trustworthy, and it is personal. Satan does not let up trying to get us to lose sight of those things. He doesn't want us to believe that God's word is true. And if we believe it's true, he's going to say, well, it's not trustworthy. You say, well, aren't they the same thing? No, not necessarily. Because you can say, I believe in God's word. I just don't trust what God's doing. It's personal. It's up close. God is not this force in the universe, some energy that is out there. He is a person. He is God, he is self-begotten, he is not human, though he has come as a human in Christ Jesus. This character loves the Lord, and as I read these things, it's a checklist for me. I am conscious of God all the time. You know, no matter what's going on, that system is operating in the background, in my mind, in my heart. Even when I'm doing wrong, even when I'm angry at some foolish driver, for daring to be on the road when I'm on the road. But I'm always mindful of God, and I think every born-again believer is. How can you not be? And we love him. We always side with God, even against ourselves, and if necessary, against loved ones. That doesn't mean that we have to be hostile towards anyone. It just means we side with God. That's how the Levites got to be the priests. They sided with God by standing next to Moses when it was time for judgment on those who were in idolatry. This character here in Psalms 111 and 112 is a family man who defended and provided for his home. Look at verse 2 and 3 of Psalm 112. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. and his righteousness endures forever. What Proverbs 31 is to that faithful wife, Psalm 112, in some respects, is to that faithful husband. But it certainly goes beyond that to all believers. Even Proverbs 31, which speaks about this faithful wife, there are some things that apply to us. For instance, we're told in Proverbs 31 that she's not afraid of snow. It's true. See, I'm not afraid of snow. See, it applies. I think there should have been a little bit more enthusiasm in the laughter. The chuckling is just not where you're capable of more, and we'll work on that as we grow as a congregation. Upright in heart, ready to help others. Verses 4 and 5. Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. In verse 5 of Psalm 112 now, he says, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion, makes right decisions, at least knows the value of making a right decision as opposed to being impulsive. Slow it down, kid, he says to himself. Think this through, and then make your decision, make your move. So you don't have to look back later and say, I should have thought through that. We all have to do that at some point, but we try to reduce the amount of times that we have to go back and patch up some mistake we did not make. I don't know, just saying, using that word patch up, I had a childhood memory of how many times we had to patch our bicycle tires. We used to carry around a kit of patches. And how many miles we put on our bicycles. But such is life, is it not? Patching up things that spring leaks while you're on the move. Listen to Isaiah 33:15's description of a righteous man. There's some characteristics in this that have everything to do with not being afraid of bad tidings. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly. He who despises the gain of oppressions. Who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. I don't want to hear anymore, he says. Turn the news off. Enough with that. It's negative, negative, negative. They never tell you the good. They overwhelm you with this to the point where you begin to unravel. Because someone else is controlling the current. And what's coming through is decided by somebody who does not love your Lord, but who loves iniquity. I love that part. He gestures with his hands. I don't want that. Just instantly. This character in Psalm 112, because of his righteousness, he's targeted. He's targeted because he is righteous, not unrighteous. Look at verse 10. The wicked will see it and be grieved. See what? How he is exalted through his righteousness. The life that he lives, because his life is a rebuke to those who want to be free from the authority of God so they can do whatever evil they want. The wicked will see it and be grieved, verse 10. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. In the end, the righteous are left standing. Even when they have been burned at the stake, they are the souls that will be left standing. And of this man, the psalmist says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting Yahweh. Well, I have trusted the Lord, and there have been times when things just have not turned out the way that I thought. And yet, here I am, still trusting. And you too. Same is said about you. Unafraid. By faith, not a courage that the world whips up, that's transient, lasts for one lifetime, and then it rots. Preservatives that belong to our faith are spiritual, they are divine, they come from the throne of God. So powerful and important is the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives that Jesus said, you can say negative things about the Father. You can say negative things about the Son, but you better not mess with the Holy Spirit of God. And what he is saying is, when God comes up close and personal to you, and you chase him away, you are digging yourself a grave you cannot climb out of. That tells the believer so much. We need not be terrified by that verse. We need to be encouraged because we've not blasphemed the Holy Spirit by chasing him away. We've received him. We call upon him. We search for him. When we struggle, where is the Spirit of God? When we're dry and we don't feel like singing, we say, Lord, where is the Holy Spirit? So be encouraged at these things. The secret of steadfast courage is making a choice to trust God no matter what. Unafraid because, not simply unafraid, but because you have a delight in the Lord. You know who he is. That signals to others, when you say, I am delighted in the Lord, that sends this signal, I am friends with God. How, can you be delighted with anyone if there's no friendship there? If the person is unfriendly towards you? You can fake it, but you're not delighted, not at all. And how many people on earth are not friends with God? How many people on earth don't even know what it looks like to be a friend with God until hopefully they see a believer? And hopefully that believer is not a sourpuss, walking around dragging their knuckles on the ground all the time. Woe is me, my sorrows. Not that we don't have sorrows. Not that there are not times that we can say to some trusted friend, I hurt. I'm struggling with this. It's okay. It does not say everything there is to say about your faith because you meet with hard times and you struggle. David at one point in the psalm said, oh, that I had wings, I could fly away. In another psalm he says, how can you say to my soul, fly away? That's why we love the psalms. They're so hard to teach from, I think, because they express life's experiences outside of a classroom environment. It's life itself. That's why I think the readers get more from the Psalms we do when we just read them. We begin to get the blessings because we can identify whether they're happy times or sad times or times of getting ready. Psalm 119. It builds you up. I love Psalm 138, verse 2. It says that God has honored his word above his name. How dynamic does that become when we then read, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons scratch their heads because they don't want that to be true. And we know it is true. Delighted because he knows that God is right, even when men disagree and dislike what God is permitting. Me too. As a believer, there are times I disagree. Well, disagree in the sense that I don't like it. But faith overcomes that. What other criteria can God use to establish who's really trusting him and who is not? If we got everything we wanted in this life, the things never went wrong for us. I'd rather them go wrong for other people so I could minister to them, but not wrong for me. I don't like to draw attention to myself, although when I'm in the pulpit, I don't feel it's me so much. I'm the dummy, the wooden dummy. He's the one doing all the talking through his word. A few weeks ago, I went to a dermatologist just to get the little mole that was growing under my eyelid. And that thing better get rid of it early. And so while I'm there, I say, hey, why are you here? Why don't you take care of this and that? He's sure. Chick-ching, chick-ching. And he's taking them off. And then he slaps these humongous Band-Aids on me. I mean, it was the loudest color you could find. And there I am looking like someone. And so I had a hospital call that day. Everybody's looking for a bed for me when I walk in. And it's just, you know, it's just, Lord, is this really necessary? I mean, will this make me a better man? No, but it's kind of funny from heaven's point of view. Look at you. Even still, I've got something trying to clear up. It's like, oh, man, when is this going to go away? And the thought is, what if it doesn't? And more faith. Gotta use faith. I don't want to use faith. But that's life. Sometimes when things aren't going bad, we still have struggles. Sometimes they're going good. We know this might not last. Well, it won't, but that's all right. We're not discouraged by this knowledge.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. You can learn about this ministry by visiting our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll also be able to listen to more teachings from Pastor Rick, as well as subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified every time we post a new edition of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast store. Or just follow the links you'll find at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from God's Word with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.